This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And there are now only a few hours between us and the day of Arafah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in this lesson, I want to share with you something about the day of Arafah and what a believer should be doing on the day of Arafah in order to make the most out of this blessed day. So I begin by saying that the day of Arafah is a day to reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a day to mend and repair this broken relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Arafah is the best day of the year. And there is a difference of opinion as to whether the day of Arafah is the best day of the year or the day after, which is Yawmun Nahr. There is a difference of opinion among the ulama. However, there is no doubt that the day of Arafah is the best day to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And it is the best day to be freed from the fire and ask Allah azza wa jal that He free you from the fire. The day of Arafah is a day so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself took an oath by this day in Surah Al-Buruj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. He took an oath by Al-Mashhood, the witnessed day. And the witnessed day is the day of Arafah, because it's witnessed, it's known. You see, subhanallah, unlike Laylatul Qadr, because the other time of the year in where there is a blessed time, it's Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr is hidden. It's hidden. It is one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But the day of Arafah, it's not hidden. It is known. So it was known as Al-Yawm Al-Mashhood, the day that is witnessed. Everyone knows about it and everyone knows when it is. So يعني, a person cannot afford to waste his time or to neglect this day. My brothers and sisters in Islam, on the day of Arafah is the day in which Allah Azza wa Jal completed our deen. Our Islam was completed on this day. Allahu Akbar. And this day of Arafah is the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees the most number of His slaves from the hellfire. Even more than the days and the nights of Ramadan. The day of Arafah, Allah Azza wa Jal frees a huge number of His slaves from the hellfire. And the day of Arafah is the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself comes down to the first heaven and He comes close, yadnu, He comes close to His slaves in a way that fits His majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this day of Arafah is the day in which ash-shaytan is the most humiliated. Allahu Akbar, ash-shaytan, the biggest enemy to mankind, ash-shaytan, the biggest enemy to mankind on the day of Arafah. He is small, he is tiny, he is humiliated on this day. Why? Because of the abundant mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is descending upon the slaves, and because of how many sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaitan has worked all year round to make the slaves fall into sins. And on this day of Arafah, Allah azza wa jal forgives so many sins and frees so many from the fire that angers a shaytan. And as a result, he is small, he is defeated, and he is humiliated on the day of Arafah. Allahu Akbar. For there is no excuse for anyone to sit back and say, Allah, I cannot worship. A shaytan is small on this day. He's defeated, he's humiliated on this day. For you need to rise above your temptations and above waswasatu shaytan and the evil whispers of a shaytan, and take control of your nafs and direct your nafs to the obedience of Allah and to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. wallahi, a chance to each and every single one of us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him that He give us life, that we witness this blessed day of the day of Arafah, and that He forgive our sins. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let's speak about the action plan. What are the four main things that a believer is supposed to be doing on the day of Arafah to make the most of the day of Arafah? So my brothers and sisters in Islam, the day of Arafah, it begins from Fajr and it finishes at Maghrib time. That's it. Yani Fajr and Maghrib, very short. It's going to go really quick. So you need to know from now what to do, so that as soon as Arafah, the day of Arafah begins, you already know what to do and you're not wasting time listening to lessons and what do I need to do. And you do that right now before Arafah. And that's what we want to share. That's the intention, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Number one, the first thing to be done is at-takbir, at-takbir. And this takbir, known as at-takbir al-muqayyad, or al-muqayyad, the restricted takbir. What this means is the takbir that are supposed to be said after the prayers. So this begins after Salat al-Fajr on the day of Arafah. This is when the takbir begins. After every obligatory prayer, you will say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, three times or two times. There are two different narrations, but you can say it three or two times. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. This is known as at-takbir. You say this and you begin after Salat al-Fajr on the day of Arafah. Whether you're in the masjid or you're in lockdown at home, you say it with your family after the prayer. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal commands us that we make dhikr of Him in known specific days. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, المعلومات, these days in where we need to make dhikr, he says, they are the day of Arafah, the day of An-Nahr, which is the Eid day, and 3 days of Ayyam al-Tashriq. So in total, you're going to make a takbir 5 days after every obligatory prayer, starting from Salat al-Fajr of the day of Arafah and ending on the third day of Al-Eid after Salat al-Asr. So that's 5 days in total. Arafah, the day of Eid, and 3 days after that. With takbir, it is not supposed to be done in congregation. So we don't say it in one tone in a congregation. Rather, everyone to himself. Everyone make a takbir to yourself. And if it happened to be that everyone's voice in a takbir synchronized and it was all in one, then there's no issue in that. But do not intend to make a takbir as a group and all in one tune and in one time. Rather, a takbir is everyone on himself. You make takbir aloud, but everyone does his own takbir. Starts when he starts, and he ends when he starts. When he ends, and yani there is nothing legislated in terms of synchronizing this takbir and making it all as one. Also, there is another thing that people are doing, and that is they play the takbir at home, like on a YouTube clip or something. Now, a takbir, it's legislated for us to say, not to hear, for us to say. So it's fine if you're going to turn on the YouTube or to turn on some kind of clip that is going to say the takbir, but you're supposed to say it. If you're going to make that as a reminder for you to recite a takbir, no issue. But to just play a takbir in the background and think this is what is supposed to be done, that is wrong. That is wrong. A takbir is not like the Quran. The Qur'an, we worship Allah by listening to the Qur'an. But when it comes to at-takbir, we're supposed to be reciting at-takbir. So say at-takbir. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, as you make at-takbir, you internalize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the purpose of at-takbir, to realize the greatness of Allah azza wa jal. And at the same time, you humble yourself and you acknowledge your insignificance. That if Allah is Al-Kabir, Allah is the greatest, meaning what are you? You're nothing, insignificant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is at-takbir. And don't forget as well, hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recall this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا كَبَّرَ مُكَبِّرٌ قَطْ إِلَّا بُشِّرٌ. That there is not a single person who makes at-takbir, except that he will be given good news. So then the companions, he said, the companions said, بِالْجَنَّةِ, meaning is he given good news that he will be admitted to the paradise? قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَعَمْ, yes. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم guaranteed that the one who makes takbir, he enters the paradise. Allahu Akbar. And enough of a reward for at-takbir, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Allahu Akbar. So that's the first thing. We make at-takbir after every, so fajr, after dhuhr, after asr, after maghrib. Keep on going until the third day of al-eid. The second main thing to be done on the day of Arafah is fasting this day. Fasting this day. So if you're unable to perform Hajj, which is about 99% of al-ummah, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to remove this disease from the earth, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring us back to His house time and time again. But for those that are unable to perform Hajj this year, then for them especially, fasting this blessed day of Arafah is recommended. It's recommended. You see, the Hujjaj, those that are on Hajj, they don't fast the day of Arafah. It is not recommended. And some opinions, it is impermissible for them to fast the day of Arafah. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recommended those that are not performing Hajj to fast this day. Why? So that everyone from this ummah, whether he's doing Hajj or not, can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a worship. The people of Hajj are connected to Allah azza wa jal because they're doing Hajj. And those that are not on Arafah are connected to Allah through their fasting. And you know, fasting is the longest deed that could be done. Because when you fast, you start from Fajr all the way until Maghrib. All of this time you are considered in worship. Allahu Akbar. So how good is it that you know you are spending every second of the day of Arafah in worship, and that's done by just fasting. So don't you dare give yourself this option of, you know what, I'm not going to fast and I cannot fast. And no. Strive and push through. وَبِإِذْنِ ta'ala, you earn the reward of Arafah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to fast this day, and he said, صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the fasting of the day of Arafah, I hope from Allah azza wa jal that it forgives, it wipes away 2 years worth of sins, a previous year and a future year. Now, man, what is meant by ye? He is 12 months. Because the ye with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 12 months. So 12 months, previous months of sins and disobedience are wiped away from the record. And 12 months of future sins are wiped away from the record by fasting a few hours. Who's going to give up on this deal, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Who would neglect this deal? Allah, only someone that does not appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings would reject this deal. As for a true believer, he will hang on tightly to this deal and will have an intention from now to fast the blessed day of Arafah. Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Wallahi, if you just sat down and did a small calculation, you would realize that approximately for every minute of fasting, it is equal to approximately 1 day of sins forgiven. 1 minute, one day. Yani, what does this mean? It means the day of Arafah. We do not calculate it by the hour. It's calculated by the minutes. Every minute, every moment, every second is precious, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The day of Arafah, I told you, is the greatest day of the year in which Allah frees slaves from the fire. So be sure that you're fasting on this day, in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees your neck from the fire.
That's the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ما من يوم أكثر من أن يعتق الله فيه عبدا من النار من يوم عرفة. There is not a day in the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the fire than the day of Arafah, even more than the days and the nights of Ramadan. So be sure to be fasting on this day so that you can have extra chance and a better chance and a better position to be freed from the fire. Fasting in hope that Allah Azza wa Jal frees you from the fire. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the deed of fasting. He loves the deed of fasting. And He rewards those who fast immensely with a huge reward. Why? You know why? Why does it have a special reward to it? Because essentially, when the believer fasts, he preferred what Allah loves over what he himself loves. Allahu Akbar. Yani, look, when someone is not fasting, you see, look, what are the luxuries and the excitements and the enjoyments of this worldly life? Food, drink, and sexual relations. These are the enjoyments of life. These are the luxuries of life. But when you give that up for Allah's sake, and you leave food and drink and sexual relation for Allah to earn His pleasure and His reward, this in itself Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, because you preferred what Allah loves, and that is fasting, over what you love, and that is the food and the drink and the sexual relations. Definitely intend to fast. The one who fasts is detached from this life. The one who fasts is detached from the luxuries of this world. He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he doesn't come near anything known as sexual relations. So you're detached from the luxuries of this life. And when the heart is detached from the luxuries of this life, it is closer to Allah and closer to what Allah has prepared for the believers in the hereafter. So there is more khushu'. You're in a state of khushu'. You're more humble and you're looking forward to the real purpose of life. And that is to earn Allah's pleasure. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, someone in that state, it is bound for Allah Azza wa Jal to accept his dua and to free that person from the fire. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, make intention from now. Wake up before Salat al-Fajr and have sahur. Even if it was a date. And the best sahur of the believer is a date. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ni'ma suhoor al-mu'min at-tamr. The best suhoor of the believer is a date, a sip of water, something, so that you can earn the reward of suhoor as well. Yani, every opportunity of reward, take and seek it. Don't let it go like this. So have suhoor and pray Salat al-Fajr in congregation, if you're able to do so, which you're supposed to be doing for the prayers. But if you're in lockdown, like our brothers and sisters in Australia, in Sydney, and in Melbourne, and in other places of the world, may Allah Azza wa Jal ease their burden and ease their difficulty. But there is no harm that they pray at home, and bi-idhnillah, they receive the reward as though they prayed in jama'ah, if that's what they used to do before this lockdown, or before this reason that forced them to pray indoors. So intend, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and the one who intends to fast, and he wasn't able to fast due to a sickness, or a woman because she's on her periods, then there is no problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them in full bi-idhnillah, because they have a valid excuse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows each and every single one of us. Allah azza wa jal knows their intention of fasting, but they weren't able to do so. So there is no reason for them to grieve or be sad or worried. Alhamdulillah, everything is all good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous than you sitting down and being sad that you weren't able to fast this day. Nama, focus on other things that you're supposed to be doing on this day of Arafah, which now brings us to the next point in terms of what is the third thing that is supposed to be done on the day of Arafah. So we said, when you fast, it humbles the servant, especially as you get close to Maghrib. It humbles you. You're hungry, you're tired, You've spent a day in, we're going to speak about what? But you're humbled. And the third thing that is supposed to be done is الدعاء. الدعاء. So fasting humbles you. It weakens you. As a result, it puts you in a better position to make dua. And that's, as we said, the third main thing to be done on the day of Arafah, which is الدعاء. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة الله أكبر. The best dua you will ever make during the entire year will be on the day of Arafah. Do you understand what this means? Wallahi, the one who understands what this means will not waste a second in making dua on the day of Arafah. خير الدعاء, the best dua you will ever make will be the dua you make on the day of Arafah. And this is why As-Salaf rahimahumullah, for example, Al-Awza'i, he said, I would come across people who would save their dua until the day of Arafah so that they can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, because that day is the best day for dua. Can you understand? You know what this means? There are some people, when they had a lot of troubles in life and difficulties, or a matter they weren't understanding of their deen, and it became so difficult, they would write it down and save it on the day of Arafah. I will ask Allah this and this matter. Yani, where's your plan? You're supposed to have a list written down on a paper. What are the things that have bothered you this year that you want for them to be sorted and solved? What sickness have you had that there is no more solution for it? And all doctors have given up. What is this sickness? Write it down. And make sure on the day of Arafah, the best day to make dua, you're making this dua over and over and over again. What is it? Your financial situation? You're not married yet? Is it your work? Is it your intellect and your knowledge and your understanding? You want Allah to give you big knowledge, a great deal of understanding of the knowledge, firmness on your deen. Is there a sin that has bothered you and you cannot give up this addiction, whether it's pornography or alcohol or gambling or whatever sin it is, and it's bothering you, it's killing you? The day of Arafah is the best dua. Make dua on that day, the thing that is bothering you the most. And then don't forget as well, what do you want in the afterlife? Add that as well. You want Allah Azza wa Jal to make Hayatul Barzakh easy for you, the life in the grave easy, and to illuminate it, and to open a window for you to the paradise so that you can see your place. Ask, and don't just worldly needs, hereafter as well. Remember, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. We're asking Allah the best of both worlds. This is the kind of dua you need on the day of Arafah, my brothers and sisters in Islam. What else do you need? You want Allah Azza wa Jal to make al-hisab, accountability, easy for you, and that He doesn't hold you to account altogether. Say, اللهم حاسبني حسابا يسيرا. Or اللهم أدخلني الجنة بلا حساب ولا عذاب. Enter me into the paradise without any accountability and with no punishment whatsoever. Wallahi, if you ask this dua sincerely, honestly, and Allah accepted it, Allahu Akbar, the kind of goodness that is behind such a dua. So make dua, first and foremost, for yourself, and then for your family. Don't forget your parents, and for the ummah at large. The ummah now is suffering. Members of this ummah are suffering all around the globe, whether it's war they're going through, or poverty, or being held and locked up, or prisoned, or attacked, or bombed, or whatever it is. This situation is terrible. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He bring relief upon this ummah, and that He descend His tranquility and His peace upon this ummah. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He keep our brothers and sisters firm and steadfast upon their deen, because this is the greatest success. No matter what trial and calamity you go through in life, if your life ended and you're upon your iman and upon la ilaha illallah, you have ended in the best of ways ever. Allahu Akbar. No matter what happened before that. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring upon our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be around the world, that are experiencing distress and difficulty and severe calamity, that He bring upon them and descend upon their hearts tranquility, peace and mercy, and that He destroy the oppressor and those who oppress them. Allahu Akbar. So a dua on the day of Arafah, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he said, I came to Al-Thawri, Sufyan Al-Thawri. These are two great ulama from among us Salaf. He said, Ibn al-Mubarak, he said, I came to Sufyan Al-Thawri on the day of Arafah while he was kneeling and crying. Hada, Al-Thawri was kneeling on his knees and he was crying. Ibn al-Mubarak, he looked at him and he asked him, who is the worst person today? On the day of Arafah, who is the worst person? So he answered and he said, the one who assumes that Allah will not forgive him. Allahu Akbar. The worst person on the day of Arafah is the person who assumes Allah will not forgive him. Yani, you know what that means? That means alongside your dua on the day of Arafah, you must assume good of Allah. Think good of Allah. Don't sit there thinking all negative about Allah and that I doubt Allah will forgive me. I doubt Allah will make my life easier. A'udhu billah. Such a person is the worst person on the day of Arafah. So that means the best person on the day of Arafah is the one who, alongside his dua, has good thought in Allah, good assumption of Allah. Yes, bi'ithnillah, Allah is going to forgive my sins. Bi'ithnillah, Allah is going to free us from the hellfire. Yes. Now a believer has to be certain of this. And then he still has an element of fear in him that Allah may reject him. And that fear there is so it can balance you out, so you don't become arrogant. Otherwise, bi'ithnillah. Bi'ithnillah, that's the ending of the believer, that he enters the paradise, that Allah frees him from the fire. No matter what your past was, we're not interested in your past. We don't care about your past. Allah, the Lord, your Lord and my Lord is willing to forgive your past. So this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assume good of Allah and you will only see good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, acknowledge this fact. Allah Azza wa Jal does not play tricks with His servants. Allah does not deceive His servants. He does not say to them, make dua, and I'll accept, and then He doesn't accept. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. There is no one more honest in speech than Allah. There is no one more truthful in speech than Allah. And Allah said, make dua, I will answer you. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that the dua on this day is the best dua, and the majority of the slaves of Allah, a large number, are freed from the hellfire. Make the most of this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. So alongside your dua, be certain about what you're asking, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'ithnillah, He will give you what you ask if it's good for you. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said in this ayah, He prohibited us from desiring what others have. لَا تَتَمَنَّوا, don't wish. Don't wish to have what others had. Don't wish it. Ya akhi, if you want what others have, is'alu Allah min fadlih. Ask Allah from His bounty and from His favors. Allah, the one who gave what you wish from someone else, is the same ilah that could give you. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because we have a disease among us. There is a disease When we see someone doing good and he's blessed and he has so and so, we begin to become jealous. And we look and we envy these people for the good that Allah has given them. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the solution in the Quran. Is'alu Allah min fadlih. Ask Allah from His bounty. Allah Azza wa Jal would give you. And into my brothers and sisters in Islam, you know, the one who prays 12 rak'at, sunnah, ratiba, other than the fard prayer, Allah promises him a house in the paradise. Do you believe that Allah would give you a house in the paradise for praying 12 rak'at sunnah in this world? And you do not believe that Allah will give you a house in this life if you made dua? Do you believe Allah will give you a house in the paradise? And then you doubt Allah will give you a house in this life if you made dua for it? Like Allah Azza wa Jal will give you and 10 times more and more than that. But don't be distracted from your worship and Allah would give you. Sometimes Allah holds back and He doesn't give you because if He gave you, it'll spoil your iman and your relationship with Allah would be harmed and affected. So Allah's mercy upon you would be to hold back, because if He holds back, your relationship with Allah is good. And for some people, when they have so much blessings in their hand, their relationship with Allah is not affected. Rather, it increases and it gets better and better. So be honest with Allah. Be true in your relationship with Allah. Don't let anything distract you. And watch, Allah Azza wa Jal will open this world for you and He'll give you more than what you can ask for. Just don't be distracted by all of these matters. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ لَا تَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَهُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal's hand is full and its fullness is not affected by the continuous spending during the day and the night. Yani it means as much as Allah gives and gives and gives in the day and in the night, He gives someone wealth, He gives children, He gives health, He gives guidance for someone, He forgives someone, He repents upon someone. As much as Allah gives during the day and the night and His giving is continuous, it does not affect what He has, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing diminishes. فَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, from among us Salaf, Hakim ibn Hizam, rahimahullah, on the day of Arafah, he gave 100 camels sadaqah fi sabilillah. And he freed 100 slaves. And he said, oh Allah, free me from the fire as a reward for freeing 100 slaves. Do something, ya ikhwani, on this day. Give a sadaqah in hope that Allah Azza wa Jal frees you from the fire. Look after someone's needs. Free someone from his debt. Free someone from their hunger. Free someone from his nakedness. People don't have clothing. Free him from his nakedness. Give a sadaqah on this day. And hope that Allah Azza wa Jal clothes you on the day of judgment. That He feeds you on the day of judgment. And that He frees you and frees your neck from the hellfire on that day. Now, and you see this narration of Hakim ibn Hisam. He's thinking about freedom from the fire. That's what occupied his mind the entire day of Arafah. Because, you know, freeing 100 camels and freeing 100 slaves takes time. Get this slave and tell him, أَعْتَقْتُكَ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. I free you for the sake of Allah. Next slave, I free you for the sake of Allah. Oh, I free you all for the sake of Allah. And to give out these camels, fi sabil, it takes time. So in other words, Hakim ibn Hizam, we learn from his story that the only thing that occupied his mind during the day of Arafah is for Allah to free him from the hellfire. And bi-ithnillah, he achieved this. Bi-ithnillah, we don't know, but Allah Azza wa Jal knows. This is your concern on the day of Arafah, for Allah to forgive you and to free you from the fire. Focus, focus on the day of Arafah. Don't daydream and make dua. لأن الدعاء on the day of Arafah is the best dua. Add to that, the dua of the fasting person is never rejected. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar. With dua, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the real dua, the dua actually begins from after dhuhr time, all the way until asr. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his hajj, in his one and only hajj he did, he prayed salat al-dhuhr and asr together. Now that's for the hujjaj. Amma for the people that are in their homes, residents in their country, you pray dhuhr on its time and you pray asr on its time. But look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. When he was on the plains of Arafah, he prayed dhuhr and asr together, and from after dhuhr he gave a khutbah, and then he raised his hand in dua all the way until sunset. That's like 6-7 hours of dua non-stop. He did not drop his hand down. There is a narration, but an interesting narration. Listen to this. This narration, one of the Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says, I was riding with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we were on Arafah. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on a camel and Usama ibn Zayd is behind him. فَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ يَدْعُو. And he raised his hand making dua. Listen to this. فَمَالَتْ بِهِ نَاقَتُهُ فَسَقَطَ خِطَامُهَا. And the camel got tired, so it just it swayed to its left or its right, a little sway. فَسَقَطَ خِطَامُهَا. And the reins, which is the rope that you use to control the camel, it fell. It fell. Meaning it slanted, it was on the side. Listen to this. فَتَنَاوَلَ الْخِطَامُ بِإِحْدَى يَدَيْهِ وَهُوَ رَافِعٌ يَدَهُ الْأُخْرَى. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought one hand down to get the rope while the other hand was still up in the sky making dua. You know this narration, what it teaches us, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The strength and the continuous dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day, that he didn't even put the two hands down for a few seconds to take the rope. Rather, he kept one up and he took one down to get the rope. Allahu Akbar, continuous dua. Now, I know the majority of us, unfortunately, cannot make dua for 6-7 hours straight. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the strength. We're weak. Majority of us are weak. And this is because we're not patient upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, I shared a lesson a few weeks ago about being patient. If you're not patient upon a dua, you'll give up straight away. It's tiring, yes, it's tiring. It requires patience. Just keep reminding yourself, this is the best dua you'll be making. What do you need and what do you want? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just keep this thought in your mind. Subhanallah. Now, and my brothers and sisters in Islam, be careful. Do not make fun of anyone that is repenting. Anyone that is seeking Allah's forgiveness on this day, do not make fun of them. I know sometimes on social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, sometimes people, they post a reminder about the day of Arafah. And all his life, he's been posting sins and music and songs and nakedness and whatever it is. And when he comes on the day of Arafah, he's putting a post, oh Allah, free us from the fire. Do not make mockery or make fun of anyone, no matter what their situation is. We are all sinners. We are all desperate for Allah's mercy and forgiveness. We are all begging for it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تظهر الشماتة بأخيك فيرحمه الله ويبتليك. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not rejoice over the calamities of your brothers and your sister. Do not rejoice. Don't make mockery of their calamities. And a calamity could be a sin. Someone could be indulged in sins. And then all of a sudden, on the day of Arafah, he's repenting to Allah through a post he made, and it is announcing a public repentance, of course, between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't make fun of such people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, perhaps Allah will bestow his mercy upon such a person. And he makes you subject to tests and trials and calamities. Could happen. What guaranteed you, my brother and sister in Islam, that you remain firm and steadfast upon your deen until the day you die? Nothing. So don't make a mockery of anyone. If anything, encourage people to run to Allah's mercy and to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and to reconcile with Allah on this day of Arafah and to mend their broken relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And when you make dua, start by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. Praise Allah. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لك الحمد على كل حال اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد. And just praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. You don't know all this, just say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahumma lak alhamd, alhamdulillah. Just repeat that, you know. Praise Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly. Then send prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And then begin with your dua. Begin with your dua. Begin by Allah forgiving you, asking Allah for forgiveness, freeing you from the fire. See your children, what needs do they have? Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide them, to keep them steadfast upon ad-deen, upon as-salat, upon the Qur'an. Then if children are upon as-salat wal-Qur'an, bi-idhnillah, they remain firm upon their deen. These two things only. Train them on these two things. Ask Allah to help you with that. You know, complain. If there's a complaint you need to make it to Allah Azza wa Jal. Make it to Allah. If you're having difficulty raising your children and you've lost all hope, say, oh Allah, I cannot raise them anymore. So raise them for me, Ya Allah. Allahumma addibhum, addibhum, raise them for me. You know, and then look after their needs. Wa bithnillah, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the ability. Things change. Things change. You need to be certain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal in the grief, what needs you have. In the hereafter, what needs you have. And as we said, making dua for the ummah. Do not forget, wallah, the one who doesn't make dua for the ummah as though he's detached himself from the ummah. We're all one. We're all one as a body, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. If one part of us was to be harmed or ill, the entire body feels the effect of it. The entire body feels the effect. So, feel the effect, feel the pain of the ummah. And make dua in the same manner you'll make dua for yourself if you are in distress or in that kind of situation and difficulty. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as we said, praise Allah, send prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua, send prayers again midway through your dua, send prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then finally when you conclude your dua, also send prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It gives the dua a better chance for it to be raised to Allah Azza wa Jal. لأن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه said, الدعاء موقوف بين السماء والأرض ما لم تصلي على نبيك. That your dua is suspended between the heavens and the earth if you do not send prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you make dua and inject it with salat على النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth and final thing of the main things to be done on the day of Arafah is dhikrullah azza wa jal, specifically at-tahleel. At-tahleel, meaning to say, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And I want to share something with you extremely beautiful. So please pay attention to this point I'm going to make. You know, this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he said, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the two things. The best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. And then he said, the best thing I said and the prophets before me said was لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. What is the relationship between الدعاء and this ذكر? Pay attention. What's the relationship between these two things for النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم to mention them in one sentence? The secret and the wisdom behind this is that التوحيد, the oneness of Allah, which these are the words of التوحيد, لا إله إلا الله, وحده لا شريك له, these are the words of التوحيد, they are the key to an accepted دعاء. The words of التوحيد, لا إله إلا الله, is the door to every goodness in life and in the hereafter. It is actually the foundation of every success in this life and the next. لا إله إلا الله is not just a word that is said. This word, it carries all the teachings of Islam. All of the teachings of Islam are within لا إله إلا الله. وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And therefore, this ذكر, التهليل, it will only benefit the one who says it with loyalty, true love for this word, and who says it honestly and sincerely and with certainty. He doesn't doubt, he is certain that there is only one Lord worthy of worship, and that is Allah, and true belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. If these are the qualities you have, that word at-tahleel will benefit you immensely in this life and in the hereafter. For the day of Arafah is a day to renew our contract and agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is on the day of Arafah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question to all mankind. We existed as a soul. He said to us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? Am I not your Lord? We were all there. And that happened on the day of Arafah, بِوَادِ نَعْمَان, which is close to where Arafah is. Allah Azza wa Jal took all the generation from the back of Adam alayhi salam, and he spread them in front of him. We were all there as a soul. Me and you, the prophets, everyone. The worst of people, the best of people. And Allah asked the question, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? Am I not your Lord worthy of worship? And we all answered, بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. Yes, indeed, we bear witness to the fact that you are our Lord. And this story is recorded in Surah Al-A'raf. Go to it. It begins, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. So on this day of Arafah, we are remembering that event and we are renewing our contract and agreement with Allah that, oh Allah, I am renewing this contract to worship you for another year, bi-ithnillah, until the next Arafah. And if you're still given life, you renew that contract again and again. Don't get bored of this dhikr. Don't get bored of at-tahleel. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah should be on your tongue repeated during the day of Arafah. Remind yourself of the greatness of this dhikr. Wallahi, let me share with you a hadith, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Musa alayhi salam, he said, Ya Rabb, allimni shay'an adhkuruka wa ad'uka bih. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, he said, oh Allah, teach me something that I may remember you with and make dua through it. Yani, teach me a new dhikr so I can remember you with, something exclusive for me. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to him, Ya Musa, La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. This is a dhikr that you will remember with. So Musa alayhi salam, he said, Kullu ibadika yaquluna hadha. All your slaves say this. In other words, Musa is looking for something new to remember Allah with, new words. So then Allah Azza wa Jal said to Musa, well, hadith sahih. He said to him, Ya Musa, لو أن السماوات السبع ولو أن السماوات السبع وعامرهن غيري والأراضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to Musa, if the entire heavens and everything in them except me, everything in the heavens except Allah, and the seven earths were to be placed on one side of the scale, and لا إله إلا الله was to be placed on the other side of the scale. مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله would outweigh everything in the heavens and everything on earth. يعني, you know what you learn from this hadith? That even prophets such as Musa عليه السلام, who were the most knowledgeable concerning Allah, even prophets must be reminded about the greatness of La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. For don't get bored of this word. Remind yourself of this hadith and of the conversation of Musa alayhi salam with Allah, and continue to say La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah. There is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. Wahdahu. None but Him. This word, wahdahu, it's like a sharp knife that cuts everything in your heart besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Every temptation and every backbiting and every sin and every disobedience and everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sliced and cut and destroyed with the word La ilaha illallah wahdahu. For remember this meaning as you repeat this dhikr during the day of Arafah. Wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahul mulk. There are no partners to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's alone. He controls this earth and universe alone. Lahul mulk, to Him belongs the kingdom. Allah, Allah. When you come to the word lahul mulk, you remind yourself of how small and insignificant and worthless you are. Lahu al-mulk, to Him belongs the kingdom. In other words, you own nothing. You don't own anything. So since you don't own anything, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. So lahu al-mulk should keep you focused on the day of Arafah, should keep you in tune on the day of Arafah, that you continue in doing that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, and to Him belongs all praise. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He is capable and has the ability over all things. Allahu Akbar, it should boost your iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani, Allah Azza wa Jal is capable over all things. What is something that you are struggling in life? You're struggling with your studies at school, studies in university, struggling financially, struggling with your deen and your relationship with Allah, struggling with your worships. What is it that you're struggling with? Remember it and say, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. He is capable of over all things. He can remove all these worries for you in any time. Any time He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just be honest. Be honest with Allah Azza wa Jal. Be sincere. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make things easy for you. My brothers and sisters in Islam, these are the four things, the main things that are supposed to be done on the day of Arafah. As we said, At-Takbir, as we said, after all the obligatory prayers, until the third day of Al-Eid. And it begins, as we said, after Fajr on the day of Arafah. Number two, fasting. If you're not doing Hajj, fasting, if you're able to do so. Number three, Ad-Dua. Number four, Ad-Dhikr. And here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, let me just share with you a tip for a dhikr and a dua. Alternate. If you cannot make dua for 6 hours in a row, then alternate. Switch. Make dua for 5-10 minutes, then make dhikr for 5-10 minutes. Go back into dua for half an hour, then go back into a dhikr, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, for another half an hour. Charge your heart. Once you feel that your heart has been filled with the praise of Allah and filled with the oneness of Allah, yalla, go back onto a dua. A dua now will have a better chance of being accepted, because you're coming out from the best dhikr on earth, which is La ilaha illallah. Naam, and most importantly, and this is what I'm going to conclude with, we are still in the sacred month of Dhul Hijjah. Allah Azza wa Jal specifically said in the Quran, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves in the sacred months. So do not wrong yourselves, meaning do not sin and do not do any disobedience. Do not wrong yourself and do not wrong others. Now, we're supposed to keep away from sins throughout the year, but there is an extra emphasis especially in the sacred months, and even more so when it comes to the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah, and you're sinning, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Stop yourself on the day of Arafah. If you think and you know of yourself that if you seclude yourself in a room alone and the shaytan's temptation upon you is going to be strong and you'll fall in a sin, don't sit in the room alone. Go to al-masjid or sit among your family or call a rep. Do something. Keep yourself away from sins on this day. Don't wrong yourself. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Repeat this dhikr, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. It'll give you strength against your desire and against your sin, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And remember, this is a day in where Allah Azza wa Jal is forgiving. He's handing out forgiveness and freeing people from the fire. What does it mean to be freed from the fire? Ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, it means that such a person will be steadfast upon his deen until the day he dies. And if you were to commit a sin from now until the day you die, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you the ability to make tawbah from that sin before you die. This is what it means to be freed from the fire. Allahu Akbar. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min fadlihi. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal from His favor and from His bounty and from His blessings and from His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings, to forgive our sins, our minor sins, our major sins. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability to make a sincere, honest tawbah on the day of Arafah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and to admit us into the paradise and to free our necks from the fire and to free our families and our parents, our mothers, our fathers, and to free the members of this ummah from the hellfire. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring tranquility, to descend His tranquility and His peace upon those that are distressed and in difficulty and are anxious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Masjid al-Aqsa. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of the oppressive enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect our brothers and sisters that are defending Masjid al-Aqsa, and that they are defending, whether they are defending it with their hands, or those that are defending with their tongues, or those that are defending with their pens, whatever means it is, defend Masjid al-Aqsa, defend your brothers and sisters in Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring relief upon our brothers and sisters in Islam, all around the world, in whichever country they may be, for they are our brothers and sisters at the end of the day, and we should be concerned for them. And if you have contact with them and you can help them financially or with a dua or a word of support, then call and don't delay. Do that. Help with your money, your brothers and sisters around the world. There is nothing that they can eat. There is nothing that they can drink of clean water. There is barely any clothing on their back to cover their awrat. These are our responsibility. And each and every single one of us must help. If you haven't paid your zakat al-mal, fear Allah Azza wa Jal and pay it before the day of Arafah. Pay it, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you multiple fold in return, bi-idhnillah, no doubt in this. Don't hold back on your sadaqat. Give in the hope Allah Azza wa Jal gives you and forgives your sins and frees you from the fire. والله أكبر والعزة لله ولرسوله وللمؤمنين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك أتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.